Welcome back to Eye of the Hourglass. My name is Molly Nolan. I am your podcast host. So glad to have you here. Today, I have the pleasure of sharing a conversation that I had with Scott Bowman, the owner of Bowman Painting based in Ormond Beach, Florida, and a long-term Summit member. I asked Scott if he would join me for a podcast episode talking about the leadership training that he has made a priority at Bowman Painting, because we know this to be a topic that, while we encourage, can often be difficult to actually implement and be consistent with it. In the last several years, Scott and the Bowman team have made this a focus and have implemented a formal leadership training program that is consistent of job site leadership, situational leadership, crucial conversations, tools that his operations team needs to have in order to be successful at their jobs. And from the feedback that he's gotten from his team, it's clear that this is a win-win opportunity for his employees, for the customers, and for Bowman Painting. I want to thank Scott for sharing and talking about how he approaches the leadership training, what he recommends others to do from lessons learned, and what he hopes to implement in the future. Scott, it is a pleasure to welcome you to Out of the Hourglass. Thank you so much for being here today. How are we?
Thank you. I'm doing great. It's wonderful to be here and to share with you today.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you being willing to join me for a really great topic that I know you're quite passionate about, and I know a lot of our listeners are passionate about it as well. But before we dive into the world of leadership training, please tell our listeners who might not know you, you know, who you are, what you do, where is Bowman Painting located, and a little bit about the company.
Sure. So I think most Summit members or longtime Summit members would know me, Scott Bowman, as being the tall guy at the Grand Summit.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm Scott Bowman. Bowman Painting has been a Summit member for 11 years now. Mm-hmm. And we are located in Ormond Beach, Florida, which is right next to Daytona Beach. And so we are a residential and commercial repaint company. And we've been in business 19 years now. And it's been an exciting journey. So we have about 35 full-time employees right now. We have about 28 or so in the field, and we have a sales force. And so our revenue goal this year is $3.4 million.
Okay. Very, very good. I love, it's always fun to hear how long different Summit members have been with us, and even like the experience throughout. I mean, you've worked with a couple of different coaches over those 11 years. I know you're now working with Colin, but you have worked with Steve Talkington. Who'd you work with before Steve?
So my first coach was Andrew.
Okay.
And then I had Catherine, and then Steve, and now Colin.
You're just going through everybody. I love it. It's good. Yeah. It's good to get different perspectives. I think it's healthy. So I was talking to Colin a couple of weeks ago, and you know, he and I, we meet every month or two to talk about upcoming podcast topics, and you know, what do we think are would poke people's interest, or what are things that we're hearing these days? And he said to me, "You've got to talk to Scott, because Scott's doing really great leadership training at Bowman Painting, and he's really passionate about this topic." And so now here we are. And you said something to me in our email exchange that I think we have to start off with. And you said, "Coaching and teaching leadership has really revived my passion for the business." I mean, that, and I actually just got goosebumps saying that. That to me is so powerful. What about that has revived your passion for the business?
Yeah, I think that, you know, let me start here and just say that, you know, I never wanted a painting business. I never got into this business with a desire to own a business. That's a different story. But, you know, over the years, you know, as I've, you know, got in the field myself and started painting, you know, I did enjoy the actual painting part. But then as we grew and I moved out of painting and into wearing different hats, I really didn't like many of the hats I was wearing. And it took me a while to figure out what I was really passionate about. And I actually was a basketball coach for a short time in the middle years of my business, and coaching basketball helped me realize I really like coaching, and I really like teaching and training and coaching. And so, here recently in the last couple of years, I've really revived my passion for the business. I mean, there was a time where I just really did not enjoy the business, and it was hard. But I've really kind of found that teaching and leadership training and developing others is really brings me energy, and
Yes, absolutely.
so it's been really, really wonderful to discover.
That's awesome. We'll talk obviously more about it, but I mean, you immediately see like it becomes a win-win, right? Like you are fulfilled by seeing the development of people, and then your employees, not only are they they're becoming better versions of themselves, that impacts how they operate at work and how your customers are, feel the Bowman experience, but they also feel it personally with their family and friends. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about some of the feedback that you've gotten that speaks directly to, to that impact, but it's a win-win all around. It takes some work, obviously, and we're going to talk about the work of the work that makes, it all come together, but it's a no-brainer, in my opinion.
I agree. And as you're talking about this, one of our core values at Bowman Painting is growth and learning. And this just fits right in with what we do is we want people who are driven. We want people who are inspired to learn new skills, to get rid of bad habits, to develop personally, to be a better version of themselves, not just for their employer, but for their wife or their husband or for their son or daughter. And so this leadership training really just helps our culture, and
100%.
it just helps advance it.
Well, it's cool when you can test if the values of your company are actually values. They should only be values if you're actually practicing them. And so growth and learning clearly are the right values for Bowman. So let's talk about the leadership training itself. Is this done just for the field, or is it also applied? Is, anybody in the company can partake in this?
Yeah, it's primarily operations, but we do it primarily for our crew leaders and our job leaders. We also involve some farm team members, and we do that kind of strategically. It's not the full segment or the full year of it, but we also involve sales reps who don't know anything about painting. So we involve them in the job site leadership training that we do. Any inside ops person or an HR person, if they're new, we do include them one time in the job site leadership training. And then we also will bring them in strategically into other things,
Smart.
into our office people.
That's really smart, especially these days we're seeing so many sales reps or HR people or office folks coming in that have that are not industry specific, but they obviously have the skills, and which is great. I mean, because we can teach people about the industry, right? So to be able to involve them in ways, through this type of training is a really good move. So when you let's kind of set up the year. When you guys Do you have a cadence or a calendar for the year of how you approach this training program?
Usually in late fall, I start setting up our training for the whole year, the following year. We have an annual calendar. We place all of our trainings. We basically do it every Wednesday, and we start February, early February, and we
Okay.
go through November. So we take December and January off. So leadership training for us is 10 months a year, and February through November. Now, in February, the very first thing we start with is I just share the vision for leadership for the year. And
Beautiful.
that vision doesn't change really, but for those who are new to it, it helps them capture or grasp the vision of what we're trying to do and what we want in our leaders. And we say three things. We say a leader's power is for others to flourish. Mm-hmm. A leader's freedom is for the liberation of others. And a leader's authority is for the empowerment of others. We want them to have three traits. Now, if you look up leadership traits on Google, you'll find, 50 of them. There's all kinds of leadership traits. But there's three we talk about, and it's accountability, approachability, and we want them to be service-oriented. So when we set that up, we really say, look, if this doesn't fit you, you're in the wrong place. We want you here at Bowman Painting. We want you to be, we'd love to be a valued member, but maybe leadership isn't the right fit for you.
And it gives people the ability to opt out. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to be forcing someone to show up for this leadership training if they don't care, right?
Yeah.
It's a two-way street. You are caring about their development, but they also have to care. But they got to have some skin in the game.
Yeah, agreed.
So you start off with kind of sharing the leadership vision for Bowman, and then how is the leadership training, from a topical perspective, how is it bucketed?
Yeah, so we do three primary leadership trainings. We do job site leadership training, which is kind of a morphed version of what Connell Mulroney has done for years. He teaches mm-hmm. job site leadership training. We do situational leadership training, and we also do crucial conversations training. Each of those three types of training, we break out into 4 to 5 weeks. So we do leadership training here every other Wednesday.
Okay.
Every other Wednesday, February through November, we do some sort of leadership training. So after we set up the vision for the year, we go right into leadership training, to job site leadership training. And of course, job site leadership training is the three-legged stool, and,
yes.
and going through all that. There's a tremendous amount of material in there. We have revised that to make it fit for Bowman Painting. We've put in some of the procedures and things we do to specialize it and make it our own.
Love to hear that.
Yeah, but that's been great. I think what we learned over the years, because we started job site leadership training back in 2016, and we were doing it once a year. But what we learned over the years is that we were asking our people to manage people, to manage the client, to manage the crew, but we weren't really giving them the tools to do so. Mm-hmm. And that's where situational leadership has come in. Crucial conversations has come in, and that's been tremendously helpful. So we do that. We also, we do job site leadership training in the spring. Then we roll into situational leadership immediately after that. We do 5 segments of that. And then in the summer, we do about 4 to 5 different one-offs. I call one-offs. Just we take individual segments of training. We will do emotional intelligence training and break that down into a one-day training. We might do understanding KPIs, talking about that. We might talk about a job costing form and what that looks like, because we often give them job costing forms and how to understand that. We might do AWO training or anything we feel like we're off on. We'll try and take a one-off topic. And then in August, really about 6 months after we did job site leadership training, we do job site leadership training again. Now, our rule is you continue to go to job site leadership training every time it's offered until you've been through it 3 times.
Okay.
After that, you do it annually in the spring, in February. So everybody goes through job site leadership training every year. And I had an interesting quote from this, from one, because we surveyed some of our people recently about mm-hmm. our leadership training. And one of our guys said this. He said, "This is my second year through leadership training, and I thought it was going to be repetitive, but going over it again gives you a chance to soak it in and relearn something that you may have forgotten. And, you know, it really just reinforces, you know, why we do this is because, you know, repetition is the mother of learning. So when we repeat job site leadership training in August or early fall, that's when we bring in farm team members, meaning people who we think might be a good fit for leadership. And, you know, we always want to develop our people, and we always want to have someone we can go to when a job leader or a crew leader leaves. You know, you have to keep developing that. And so we really encourage our farm team people to come in and do it in that time, because usually the class dwindles a little bit because a lot of the people that have done it three times or more aren't in there. And then in fall, we go through crucial conversations training, and we do that 5 segments. And then we might have one more one-off before we end for the year and just kind of sum up. So those are the main things that we do. We do it every other week. We have considered doing it every week. We've considered other topics as well.
There's so much good stuff to unpack there. I mean, so one being, those are three great kind of core topics to bucket into, you know, job site leadership, situational leadership, and crucial conversations. I mean, we just released a podcast. Actually, you and I are recording on a Wednesday. We just released a podcast this week about crucial conversations, because Colin was saying, this is a topic I keep kind of hearing about, and we got to bring it back. And we hadn't talked about it in a little while. And so when you're saying this is a topic that you guys, you know, train on, and I see someone specifically in your feedback form spoke to how this training has helped them prepare for crucial conversations. I mean, that to me, you know, that's full circle, that people in this position are going to have tough situations to deal with, tough conversations to have, challenges on a regular basis. And if we're not providing them the tools to be able to be successful, then we're essentially setting them up to fail.
Yeah.
And so you're creating an environment where you are kind of arming up your people with the ability to succeed as best as they can, or to learn from experiences, and through returning back to annual training, giving them new ways to think about how they could have maybe applied. Like something what you just said about someone who's going through their second year of training, something that may not have hit home the first year because maybe hadn't come about that situation before, is now something that they might be like, oh, now I see, now I get it. And so being able to kind of reinforce that over and over again is big. So job site leadership, 3 times is kind of the requirement. Do you follow that similar rule in terms of, or similar structure in terms of the crucial conversations or SL2, or is that just annual requirement for everybody?
Right now, it's an annual requirement. Everybody who's in leadership training goes through situational leadership and crucial conversations every year right now. You know, I tell our people often, and is I tell our people that if you can't teach it, you don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that a lot because there were times where our people would be like, man, you know, we have so many meetings, or why do we have to go through this every year? Like, I've been through that, you know, and I'm like, well, why don't you come up here and teach it then? I don't know about that. Well, then I don't think you really know it yet.
Yeah.
And perhaps I'm getting ahead of myself here, but one of the things that is really exciting about leadership training is when we can start to have others teach it. So since we're talking about that, you know, when we talk about doing IDPs, you know, one of the things I encourage with our crew leaders who maybe are more advanced is, hey, how about you teach a segment on job site leadership training? Why don't you take managing the job or managing the client or managing the crew? You know, I'll give that to you and you can teach it and present it. And we've done that successfully. We've had some of our crew leaders teach that. And that is so rewarding to me. I mean, I look forward to the day where I can just add in a few things here and there, but I can sit
Right.
back and watch our people teach others. That would be an exciting day.
Well, sounds like you're on the road to making that happen. When you offer that up as part of an IDP, do you obviously you're not probably putting that out to everybody. You've identified who is maybe ready for that kind of next challenge. Is it often well received, or are people sometimes hesitant that maybe need a little bit of encouragement?
Yeah, so when we survey our people, one of the things we ask them is like, do you have a desire to teach? And if
Interesting.
so, what of these trainings that we offer or do would you be most interested in teaching? And most of them pick job site leadership training. I think that's a good place to start. Let's just
Yeah.
take one of those segments. Like right now, the thought of one of our people taking a segment of situational leadership or something seems a little far-fetched, but in another year or two, somebody could really grab a hold of that and run with it. Again, we teach five different segments or weeks of situational leadership training, and I could see somebody doing that eventually. I would say this, the crucial conversations training, I thought would be maybe perhaps a little progressive for our group and a little bit too heady. But that one has been identified as the favorite of everybody last
So
year.
interesting.
Yeah, we got more positive feedback from people saying that crucial conversations was more helpful to them than anything. And, we knew that it was important. We just didn't know how well it would be received. And, because we're always, we want our crew leaders to have those conversations, those alignment conversations. But again, we have to give them the tools to do so. And Crucial Conversations offers that. I think when I, like, we're starting to think now about going to weekly. And it was a push to do this. We started the current format we have now, we started last year. So we're really only in our second year of doing this kind of 10-month long. But now we're already starting to think about doing this every week for 10 months. And as an owner, you start thinking, well, gosh, that's a lot of money. But how much money does it really cost me to not have this training, to have to myself get involved in crucial conversations regularly? How much money are we saving by not only having our people have those conversations and be able to do those things, but how many people are we retaining? So that's really important too. The other thing I would say is, when we do job site leadership training, there's an aspect of it we go over that Connell often talks about. He says, what do the best employees want? And we go over this list of 12 things. Well, one third of that list is directly related to leadership training. Do I know what's expected of me at work? Well, that's job site leadership training. Does my supervisor or someone at work seem to care about me as a person? When we do these trainings, people feel supported. When you go over crucial conversations, we have people saying, hey, this not only helped me professionally, but this has really helped me in my personal life. It's
That's
almost
why I wonder if that's why that's been one of or the most impactful is that it's very much transferable in and out of the workplace.
yeah. Very much so. One of the other things is there someone at work who encourages my development? I mean, we're developing leaders, or in the last year, have I had opportunities at work to learn and grow? I mean, so a third of those core elements that people want, are given in our leadership training program. And when I think about doing this more regularly, I mean, the thought of doing it once a week still scares me, but I see that day happening.
Is
And
it?
I'll say this too, is we got a lot of pushback last year on, boy, man, we're doing so much leadership training. Like, I got to get to the job site. You know, I got to work. And last year, the feedback we got was, you know, do we do too much leadership training? And it was like, yeah, we do. I think we do a little bit too much of it. But when we surveyed our people this year, they all disagreed with that.
Because they felt the impact of what happens when you do it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, so two questions, one being the delivery of it now. I mean, outside of involving a crew leader or a job leader who might show the ability to train or do a segment of it, are you the primary facilitator for all of these current sessions?
Yes. Yes and no. So let's start here. Again, we started job site leadership training in 2016 with Connell doing all the videos, and we would share those videos. And I knew at some point that I would need to get up and share, because there were things I would stop the video and then add. And so now job site leadership training is mostly me. I try and have crew leaders teach a segment or two of that. Situational leadership, I teach the whole thing. We have a PowerPoint presentation, and nice. We also give materials to our people, and they go through those materials. Emotional intelligence training, some of these other one-offs, I teach those. I give supplementary materials. Now, Crucial Conversations is interesting. We used an on-demand video, and I created a PowerPoint to go through it, and I created supplementary material. And so you can actually rent the course for 60 days.
And, oh, cool.
Yeah, and there's 10 segments, and you go through it at your own pace. And so I think it costs like $350 to do that. But cruciallearning.com is the website I use to get that. And so that was a more or less, there were complimentary videos, and then I kind of filled in the gaps and kind of kept it moving from there.
Which makes sense, because at the end of the day, I mean, like you were saying, for job site leadership as well, there's one thing to have the content, but it's another thing for you to, you know, directly apply it to the Bowman Painting way, right? And the expectations that your company is setting. And so we want to make it feel a little bit more personal. So it's good when you can kind of mix resources with also, you know, personal leadership within the company itself.
Yeah. And I had a lot of fear and a lot of head trash about doing a lot of this myself, but given my propensity to coach and train, it just kind of fell naturally to me. For those who don't like to coach or teach or do public speaking, you know, I would encourage them to identify someone in their company that does, and have them start to do that. But I've really enjoyed it. So, but I do want to continue to develop our people by having them continue to teach and do more of it.
I love it. I mean, outside of the scheduling component is a decent amount of time. So that can be a challenge when you think about it financially, but you've already kind of said how much would it cost to not be doing this, and then retaining employees. And then obviously some maybe pushback at the onset from people about, you know, taking the time to do it. Were there any other challenges from the start, or as you're thinking about it now, any challenges that maybe would have caused you to rethink what you're doing, or just that you didn't really expect when you really implemented this program?
Yeah, I think, like I said, last year we kind of got pushback at the beginning of how often we do leadership training. So that was one of them, but we've definitely worked through that, and people really buy into it now. They really love it. They like I said kind of earlier, I touched on this, but they really love being included in it. They they love the personal development. They're seeing what they can get out of it now, and they're seeing how it helps them in their daily role. They're so much more confident in doing their job. They understand their job now, and they're so much more confident about tackling some of the harder things about their job because we're giving them the tools to do that. The other thing I would say is, last year we did leadership training Wednesdays at, I think we did it at 3 o'clock. This year we do Wednesdays at 7 a.m.
Mm.
3 o'clock was great for me because I had some additional time and worked great for me, but it was not great for them because they worked all day and then they come
They're like checked out.
They sit in the air conditioning and it was tough. So we do it at 7 a.m. now. I bring in donuts and coffee. We do donuts and coffee at 6:45 and allow people to trickle in. And then at 7 we start. Sometimes I encourage them to, if needed, push back their start times that day for the rest of their crew if they need to. I imagine that there might be a day where we start at 6 a.m., but just to get a better workflow for their day. But
is it coincide at all with you? Do you do, well, I'll push step back one question. Do you do a weekly operations meeting or a biweekly operations meeting?
We do. We do that every Wednesday at 10:30.
Okay. So I was wondering if it kind of coincided with, so same day you're doing leadership training and your operations meeting on the same day.
Yeah.
When I look at just a couple other pieces of feedback, I'm just going to read a couple of quotes here because I think it resonates as to, again, why we're talking about this. Someone said, "Leadership training has helped me pick different methods of leading my guys because with different people and attitudes, you have to lead differently." That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's so true. I mean, a team is made up of a unique and diverse personalities, and a one size fits all doesn't really work in these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Part of managing the crew is learning to understand people and, managing the job. I always tell people, everybody thinks they can be a crew leader. Every good painter thinks they can be a crew leader because they can manage the job. But the other two aspects of the three-legged stool involve people skills and management skills. You've got people with different attitudes and, you might have some prima donnas that you have to weed out or correct. It's just so important to be able to give them the tools to be able to do that.
It just brings up something that I have spoken to, or it's been a topic on this podcast before, that term manager or management is so often thrown around loosely these days in the workplace. I mean, anywhere you go, people take on the role of manager, but they don't actually understand what that actually means. Then 90% of the time, it comes down to people, and a lot of us lack people managing skills. I personally ran into a scenario last year where I was at a restaurant. It was not really a fast, almost like a Chipotle type restaurant. And I watched a manager berating an employee in front of all of these customers. And it was late at night. And there was only a handful of customers in there. But after 5-10 minutes of this, I said something and I said, This is unfortunate for everybody in this space. I said, if this is a conversation you should probably be having in the back room, not putting like it. I mean, I actually ended up writing to management. I decided to not write a negative review online because this was a unique situation. But that person just kept saying, "I'm the manager. I'm the manager." And I don't typically I hate confrontation. I don't like getting involved. But I just saw this. What probably plays out in a lot of scenarios, this entitlement factor of being called a manager, but treating your people so poorly or failing at being a manager because you don't know how to treat your people. So I love when that, with what comes with being a crew leader means that we have to manage personalities and customers. And like we said earlier, if we don't have the tools to do that, or we don't set the expectations of what that looks like, then you're absolutely, things are going to come back, be escalated back up to you. And that's back in the hourglass, right?
Mm, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Jocko Willink, the author of Extreme Ownership, would say there are no bad teams, just bad leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And The goal of leadership training is to develop leaders. And, as we look forward to segue a little bit here, as we look forward to what's next, like what can we throw at next? I've actually been looking at the Extreme Ownership book, which
yes.
we read as part of the management training that that Jim and Andrew actually.
Oh, I didn't realize you were part of that. Very cool.
Yeah. So just to put a nice little plug in for Andrew here, I know he'll really appreciate it. But the management training was really good. I'm sure there may be some aspects of that that we bring into leadership training.
Yeah.
But we read that book, Extreme Ownership, in that, and I know that's been out for a while, but that is fantastic. But they actually have a website that you can go to and get trainings from and actually do video training. And so I know for a fact that we will be doing that. We've already signed up for some free stuff you can do on there. But one of the next big segments we're going to do is extreme ownership and start incorporating some of those principles into our leadership training.
That's awesome. That management training series, that was a pilot that we ran this year between Andrew and Jim. And I think it just wrapped up about a month ago or a couple weeks ago. And so we heard good things. We're definitely going to be doing it again. It'll start, I think, in November. So with the pilot comes tweaks. Think they're going to be working on some small, changes, but we'll be looking to roll that out. So I'm glad that it was a good experience for you. You mentioned the term prima donna, which I love. Has this leadership training helped you identify and remove prima donnas from your business?
I'm laughing because we just let go an individual last week who was a prima donna, and we put him in the position of job leader. We had conversations with him about what it was about. He started in job site leadership training early in the year. He was in the first meeting about our vision for leadership, but he continued to have these prima donna attitudes, about leadership. Prima donnas just don't really want to share. They don't want to teach and train. They only want to do certain tasks. Weren't willing to do other tasks, and it's crazy to me that even though in job site leadership training, we go over this list of prima donna.
There's the quadrant.
And traits.
Yeah.
This individual is sitting there right there learning and listening and perhaps even nodding in agreement, but yeah, he's guilty of so many of these things. And then we later take these issues to him and we say, hey, we see some of these things in you. These need to be corrected. And at the end of the day, it didn't work. And so it was clear that we not only had to eliminate him from leadership, and shame on me for even getting him involved in leadership, but it did expose some real problems with him. And, ultimately it wasn't going to work and we had to part ways.
Well, maybe you wouldn't have, without putting him through that training, it wouldn't have been exposed as quickly as maybe, he would maybe still be here for another year and causing more, more drama or saying no to things he didn't want to do. So I think it's part of lessons, lessons in leadership training. You learn things maybe sooner or later than you really wanted, but at the end of the day, you're taking something away from it and you're course correcting a little bit as you're trying to create a high performing team here, right? And there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of people as a part of that. And this is almost part of like almost a great filter to help, keep, making sure that you've got the right people on your team.
Yeah. Agreed.
And what advice would you give, outside of, how to approach what you're going to teach, what advice would you give to business owners or, GMs or field supervisors who are listening to this and either want to improve their own leadership training program or want to really make one that's informal, a little bit more formalized? If you were to start again, like from scratch, what would you want to know?
Yeah, I would say, first thing I would say is probably just start small and slowly acclimate your people into leadership training. I definitely would not start this out doing it once a week or maybe as much as we do now. But if you're not doing job site leadership training every year for your people, you're doing them a disservice. I think that is the basis. It really starts there. I mean, job site leadership training is their job description. Mean, yes, there's a lot of other things in it, but that is their basic job description, a thorough examination and look at what they are supposed to do on a daily basis. So, job site leadership training to me is a must. If you end up developing it on your own over time, like we have, great. If you need to start somewhere, I would say, start with the resources at NCG and the virtual ones. Those are tremendously valuable. So I would say start there. Use online resources. Like we have, we've used Crucial Conversations. We've used their online course. That's been very good. I know that we've used this some of the situational leadership material from NCG to help incorporate into our own. That's been really good. But start slow and slowly create your own version of what that might look like.
And then make it, and then I could make it a priority, right? Because it's one thing to say you want to do it, but you've clearly defended the time on your calendar and on your work's, operational schedule to make this happen. And that's, I think, what probably is probably half the battle.
We have a Bowman Painting annual calendar. It's an events calendar that we give to people in early January, and it has all of our leadership training dates. It has all our first Fridays, our quarterly events, anything significant on there. We give them a calendar, and it has to be calendared. It just doesn't. Last year, we had things calendared, but sometimes we would move them, based on, it didn't work out in my schedule or this or this. And that's going to happen from time to time. But I think it has to be calendared, and it's so important,
It totally is. Well, I love that you guys have taken you've kind of pulled in resources from all different, areas, from online, the things that we have offered. I mean, that what you're doing makes me so happy. You guys have attended the job site leadership for several years, when Connell was doing it, and now Colin and Brian have been teaching it. But then you've made it your own, and you've made it part of your process. Because we can't, as much as we would love to offer job site leadership 3 to 4 times a year, but it's only one of the many things that we do. So our hope is the very thing that you did is attend it a couple of times and then really make it your own and then be able to offer it more often to your team. Same with situational leadership. We do a workshop on that, but we can't be there every day in your office to be enforcing that or on a monthly basis to make sure it's being talked about. So it's so great when you can take resources from all different areas and then really make it the Bowman Painting way or your company's name's way. I mean, that's how it really it hits home.
And we still take a snippet or two from the video, the job site leadership video, Connell, and we'll take a snippet or two and throw that in. There's it really helps when you have a third party person saying certain things. It's different for me to get up there and say, hey, this is your job. This is your job description. You have to do this. It carries a lot more weight when you have a third party person saying, this is your role. This is what you do as a job leader, a crew leader. Or, when Connell, we played this clip this year. For some reason, I can't seem to muster the ability to say this, but when Connell says, God gave you an ass for a reason, and it's to hold your pants up. That clip has been valuable. So there are certain
It
things.
sound with the Irish accent, it sounds even better coming from Connell too.
Yeah,
So
it's so
it's
distinguished, So he can say things that I just can't feel like I can get away with, and they just have so much more power and effect.
Yeah, no, it's so true. I love that. Well, we're giving Connell a lot of shout outs here. That's great. It's true. The third party person, the knowing that your peers in other businesses across the industry are also going through trainings like this, I mean, it all reinforces the work that you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, thank you. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. One other thing I would just share about the advice for business owners is I think it's important for them to understand your vision of leadership and what you want that to look like at your company. You know, it's going to look different, a little bit different from company to company. So I think, you know, one of the things that I think management training, the pilot program talked about was what does your leadership look like? You know, and so what is your vision of leadership? I think that's important to define, and as you try and instill that in your culture.
It's like writing a company, you know, 3-year company vision or a personal primary aim. It sounds like you gotta write it out and understand what it is that you're trying to achieve. That's a really, really great place to end. Scott, thank you so much for sharing. You guys are doing really awesome stuff. I can tell you're passionate about it. Gosh, I'd love to revisit this topic in maybe a year or so, especially when you've implemented extreme ownership and just see how that has like continued to like really bolster the work that you guys are doing.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Until next time. Thanks for listening to this episode. Out of the Hourglass is recorded and produced by the team at Nolan Consulting Group, a nationwide business coaching and consulting firm with coaches located throughout the country. Have a question, comment, or idea for future episodes? We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website, www.nolandcg.com.